We come in 1912 to St. Mary's Carlow on our virtual journey. And St. Mary's Carlow is one of our key town churches with its wonderful and dominant spire. And I suppose I think when I'm there of how much beautifying of the church has been done in recent years, the vision of those who created the community house where a place of sociable and comfortable gathering in the church grounds opens simultaneously to the street on one side and to the church grounds on the other. And of course, the church grounds now are much enriched by their growing ecological friendliness in a way that is instructive for the rest of us. So we give thanks and pray for all of that in St. Mary's Carlow. As to the 1912 events, the year that we recall in these talks, we're now into the real decade of centenaries in terms of remembering key things that happened 100 years ago in terms of the formation of the state and the Ireland we know. It was, of course, also on a wider context canvas, the year of the sinking of the Titanic, which undermined so much of almost European self-confidence before the war shattered so many illusions. And we have the remarkable associations, of course, of the Titanic with its port of construction in Belfast. But in relation to political events, as Home Rule seemed apparently looming with the introduction of further legislation in the aftermath of the Parliament Act, which had removed the Lord's veto, Ulster got into action perhaps as never before to resist Home Rule or to look for a separate solution for itself. And so late in that year was the Solemn League and Covenant when loyalists of Ulster bound themselves almost by signatures in their own blood to oppose Home Rule, which they felt would be so detrimental to their ethos and interests. But ahead of that, earlier in the year, it's interesting to note that a partition, so-called solution, is being articulated in Parliament itself. During the summer, one TC Agar Roberts moves an amendment to the newly introduced Home Rule Bill in the House of Commons specifically to exclude the counties of Antrim and Armagh and Down and Derry. It was perhaps the first attempt to define a border in Ireland, although interestingly he doesn't specify either Fermanagh or Tyrone. And of course the argument over where to place the border and the fact that it's as much a cultural as a geographical thing in so many minds, the arguments over where to place it and how to define it will go on for many years until the abortive Boundary Commission after the establishment of the Free State and even beyond in the minds of many. And Agar Roberts famously declared in Parliament, quote, "I've never heard that orange bitters will mix with Irish whiskey." From then until the present, and I think of Brexit, the border becomes in some way the great almost psychological fault line as well as actual fault line in Ireland that pervades all else. It's an attitude as much as a frontier. Even if you do not live near it, your attitude to it is a large part of your identity. We've almost forgotten Ireland now without a border. But think of how it rocked society and indeed the church when it first began to seem a real possibility.